Good evening to everyone. We certainly greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I guess I can just say it is a joy to be here with you this evening. It is our desire that we could seek the Lord together. I've said many times, and I will say it again tonight, that I do not believe that seeking the Lord is a passive thing. The Scriptures teach us that when we seek the Lord, God says, when you seek me, you will find me. When you seek with me, for me, with all your heart. So that is not a passive seeking. And I want to encourage us as you are here together this week, seeking the Lord. Brother Allen gave us a really good word of admonition. If there's a withered hand here, a diligent seeking of God is willing to stand forth. And I just want to encourage you, because when someone has the strength and the grace to stand forth, God also has the grace to do His part. And He will bring healing and He will bring direction. I have heard the phrase before, when we ask God that He would set the plow deep for us this week. And I want to tell you the way that I believe that you will go the deepest with God that you will ever go. And it's not through theology. It's not by going to the mission field. It's not spiritual talk, most certainly. It's not having a position. It's not even doing great things for God. The deepest that you will ever go with God is to become like Him. In whatever situation you are in, whatever you do, to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to give you the words of Jesus Himself. He said that the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that will be perfect shall be as his master. That is bringing our life up to his life. That's the words of Jesus. We sing sometimes that by looking to Jesus, like him thou shalt be. And thy friends in thy conduct. And I was just thinking about that. Conduct, that is everyday life. Conduct is who you are really in everyday life. And when your friends in your conduct see Jesus Christ coming out, that is going deep with God. I'm going to remind you that there is no room for the flesh to operate when you become like Jesus. Jesus said one time that the prince of this world cometh and he hath nothing in me. There is no connection between the life of Jesus Christ and the holiness of the life that Jesus lived and the things that this world has to offer. I know that as we share these thoughts this evening, I was just thinking, it's kind of exciting, it's kind of fun to bring something new, but we're not going to be doing that this evening. We're going to be bringing I'm just going to say the same old thing. But it's our desire that somewhere in our hearts, the Spirit of God would stir within us that makes it seem new. The depth of inspiration of the moving of the Holy Spirit within our hearts is better than something new. Brother Denny used to say, when that happens, fasten your seatbelt, because God will take you somewhere. We quoted that song, by looking to Jesus, like Him thou shalt be. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, it talks about that. It says, but we all,
And I'm just going to say this, that's the formula for all of us. But we all, same formula for everyone, with open face. In other words, we're not hiding anything. No room for the flesh to operate. We're open. We give God liberty to do what He wants to do this evening. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. In other words, we fix our gaze upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that verse it says that we are changed into the same image. Changed from what we were into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. We become just like Him. And we're going to have more to say about that verse a little later. But we are changed from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. I want to remind us this evening that the highest form of worship, I've heard this, the highest form of worship is imitation. To imitate someone. To be like them. And that word imitation is in the Bible. It's translated a little different. It's translated as followers. Like in Ephesians when it says, "Be ye followers of God as dear children." Be imitators of God as dear children. You know, when you imitate someone, when you really admire someone, when you look up to them, you begin to act somewhat like them. You begin to say things that they say. Because it becomes part of you. And as we become followers of God as dear children, we become imitators of God. That's what the Apostle Paul said. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Be imitators of me, even as I also imitate Christ. And I'm not sure what that Greek word is there for followers, but I know when you look at that word, it looks like mimic. Little mimics of Christ, because He is the pattern. Jesus Christ, He, the great example, is and pattern for me. We sing that sometimes. And where He leads, I'll follow. I'll imitate Him. I'll follow Him all the way. I'll imitate Him no matter what comes. That is going deep with God. That's the calling that is upon each of our lives, I believe. And I say again, we don't have anything new this evening, but we have a prayer in our heart that God would stir within us. And I need that stirring right here as much as anyone else needs it out there. And so before we go farther, let's just beseech God in prayer again. And I was just thinking, as Brother Allen prayed, Lord, if You answer that prayer, You will have Your way here this evening. He prayed for the anointing to be upon Your Word. He prayed that our ears here tonight would be open, that we would receive it, and we would give God all the glory. And so, Father, we pray tonight that we would learn how to go deep with You, that we would learn how to worship You, that we would learn how to be like You in purity, just like You in separation from this world, just like You in holiness and in humility, just like You in forgiving others, just like You in prayer when You were here, just like You, Father, when the call upon our life is to suffer. Help us to realize that that is not setting the bar too high to be like You. It's just placing the bar where You want it. Help us with the Apostle Paul to just cry out and say, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus to be all that You want us to be. And Paul acknowledged that he had not got there yet. But he said, I press on. May You stir that way in our hearts this evening. Lord, may we be encouraged this evening. May we be strengthened by Your Spirit in the inner man to be changed into Your image from glory to glory. even as by the Spirit of God. Father, we pray that you would set the plow deep tonight. We pray that you would raise the bar high. And we pray that it would not be an impossible thing to us. It would be the natural thing that just happens when we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit of God. Stir within us, we pray, Father, that way. And we pray that it would bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I want to just jump through a few scriptures here. The scriptures that encourage us to follow the pattern of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles, I just encourage you to turn to 1 John there after Hebrews, James, and Peter. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. There's just an interesting verse there. Chapter 2, verse 6. It says here that he that saith, he abideth in him. And we'll stop right there. And I just want to say that there are many people who make that claim. Many people claim to be in Christ. They claim salvation. They claim this new position in Christ. But John says here that he that says that, he that saith, he abideth in him, has another obligation. He ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. And that's just the calling of the scriptures, that our life needs to come up to walk as he walked. That's the same. To live our life as he lived his life. And I'm going to say several times throughout the evening, many people shy away from that because they feel like it's setting the bar too high. But I want to challenge us. Is it? If it is, we better thump that scripture right out of there. Because it's calling us to do that very thing. I'm going to read it again. He that saith he abideth in him, that's us, ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. That's everyday life. That's what that is. Romans chapter 8 tells us that we have been predestinated to be conformed into the image of his dear Son. And that scripture also is just drawing us to the pattern and the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and to his character. To be conformed. You know what conformed means? It means that you can be formed into this image. The bar's not too high. It can happen through the provision of God. That we would be conformed to the image of his dear Son. We can be molded into the image and likeness and character of Jesus Christ. The bar's not too high. That is the normal thing that will happen to a child of God who yields himself, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. God will do that for us. And you know, sometimes we have to admit, molding hurts sometimes. We're going to talk about that Wednesday evening. But in molding, there's times when things need to be cut away. I've shared this before, but I like the illustration. Michelangelo, he had a cold, hard stone, granite stone. And he carved out of that stone the figure of David. He got famous for it. And in his image of David, it was so lifelike. I mean, the veins were sticking out in his arms, and you could just look at this hard, cold granite stone, and it just looked like David. And somebody came to Michelangelo and he said, "How did you do that? How did you make cold, hard granite look so lifelike, so much like David?" And Michelangelo said, "I just chipped away everything that didn't look like David." That is exactly what God wants to do with our life. Could we give Him liberty? Yes, it hurts a little. Yes, it requires sacrifice. But give God the chisel. Give Him the hammer. Give Him liberty. And just chip away anything that doesn't look like the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think we can give you a guarantee tonight. If you give God the liberty to do that, if you really do give Him that much liberty, here's the guarantee. If you give Him liberty to do that, He will take it. And this week will be a beautiful week to bring glory to our Lord. So I challenge us this evening, when the pattern of the Lord Jesus Christ comes down upon us, do we fit the pattern? Have we completely yielded ourselves to this molding? Remember, there was no connection between the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and the kingdom of this world. It testifies, the scriptures do, of Jesus Christ. It says that He loved righteousness and He hated iniquity. It wasn't like there was a mixture of the two. It wasn't like there were some gray areas. He loved righteousness and He hated iniquity. And you know what happened because of it? The same thing that will happen to us when we do that. It says that He loved righteousness and He hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. I mean, there's an anointing that comes, and it's a heavy anointing when we follow the pattern of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we love righteousness and turn away from iniquity. Peter tells us that He has given us an example that we should follow in His steps. That is a very exacting way to follow someone, is it not? In His steps. No question. There's no question about where Jesus went. There's no question about how He lived. There's no question about what He said and did. It's on record. He left footprints, and we are to follow in His steps. And we're going to come back to that in just a little bit, because the context there is of suffering wrongfully. That's the context. And that is probably one of the most unpopular things there is in the kingdom of God among God's people. Sometimes we're willing to suffer. Sometimes we'll handle a little suffering because we know it's coming. But if we suffer wrongfully, they are going to pay. That's not following in His steps. I have heard that there are many people who believe in Jesus. We hear that on every side. But I want to tell you tonight, there are far less people who follow Him. Many believers, far less followers. And there's less people yet who follow in His steps. But He is the perfect pattern, and the bar is not too high. It's the natural thing that will happen when a child of God yields his life to the King of Kings. So He is the perfect pattern. And the purpose of a pattern is to produce an identical replica. And I know that some of you sisters here do some sewing. My wife and daughter, they do a lot of sewing. And I thrill at the works that they produce. But I marvel at it. But whenever they make a shirt or a dress or a garment bag or anything that they make, they have a pattern. And whenever they cut out a pattern, they're never doing it by guesswork. They're never doing it by assumption. They don't say, well, we need to turn in a little bit here for the shoulder and maybe come back in a little bit. No, they have a pattern. And they put that thing down. And they come up with an identical replica. And it makes a beautiful product. And And so I think about the scripture also in 1 John. I think that's in the first chapter that says, when we walk in the light, as He is in the light, that's walking just like He walks. When we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. It's a beautiful replica. When we walk in the light, as the pattern walks in the light. In Philippians, we read that we have the mind of Christ. But we have the mind of Christ. And let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, I just want to think about that for a minute. If we have the same mind that the Lord Jesus had, to think as He thinks, to see things as He sees them, when we think as He thought, I'm just going to tell you, we will be like Him. We will have the same priorities. We will have the same loves. We will have the same hatreds because we think like He thinks. I'm just telling you, the bar is not too high. It's the Scriptures calling us. Brothers and sisters, come here. Come all the way up to the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. The bar is not too high. It's the promise of God upon His people that we can do that. And it's not just an option that we need to take. It's a commandment. Thinking about our mind, we are instructed in Scripture to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You ever think about that? That doesn't leave any room for the flesh to have thoughts. That doesn't leave any room for the devil to put thoughts in our mind. Bringing into captivity every thought. I read one time a while back where the average person probably has about 10,000 thoughts a day coming into their mind. And the Scriptures testify that if we have 10,000 thoughts a day, God wants every one of them. That's the standard. That's the pattern. And when He gets them, we will be like Him. I know that we will. That's why we were commanded in Scripture to be renewed by the Spirit of our mind. It's revival. I don't know a better definition for revival or a better formula for revival than to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. That will produce revival. It'll be the natural thing. First John chapter 3 instructs us that we should be pure. And it's not just a commandment to be pure, to raise our standard a little. We are commanded to be pure even as He is pure. Do you see how the Scriptures are just calling us not just to raise the standard a little bit, but it's to raise it all the way up to the life of the Lord Jesus Christ? We are commanded to be pure even as He is pure. And I just tell you, youth here tonight, young men, that is pure. When you are pure, even as He is pure, that's purity. That's wholesome. And that's the standard. That's the pattern for us. No room for these borderline websites. No room for immoral fantasies. There is no room for masturbation and that kind of heresy and works of the flesh. There's no room for that. Let God bring us up to the pattern. The Scriptures are calling us there. And He is the pattern for every area of our life. How are we to love one another? Did God just command us to love one another? I've marveled when I went through the scriptures looking at the call of God upon our lives. We are to love one another just like He loves us. That's the commandment. That's the standard. And I think in my heart, I think, oh, it's hard to love everybody the way God loves them. And it is, it's impossible for the flesh. But when we get ourselves out of the way and give God liberty, it's a marvelous thing what He can do. And I want to encourage you, young brothers in the Lord, young sisters in the Lord, this, the bar is not too high. It is the natural thing that will happen when we yield ourselves to the Spirit of God. I want to remind us, there's not two standards of love. There's not one standard of love of how much Jesus Christ as our Savior loved us, sacrificed His life, left heaven and came down here, gave everything and loved us that way. And then there's another standard of love on how much we love each other as brethren. No, it's the same love. That's a marvelous thing. What would that do to our churches? What would that do to our marriages? What would that do to our relationships? Brother Andrew's talking to you all about relationships. But think about the standard of love. What a tremendous effect that would have upon us. We are to forgive one another. How do we forgive one another? Again, it's even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. That's Ephesians 4:32. We all know it. We'll probably all quote it by heart. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. And that's going to be our subject for tomorrow night. We just wanted to pick some subjects to bring us up to the standard of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe it's God's will that we would forgive one another, just like God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. And I was thinking, when Jesus was here, if we patterned our prayer life after His prayer life, I thought about not saying this one because I have so much need and room for improvement here. But you kind of get to the place where your greatest need is, that's what you want to mention. That's where you want to give God liberty. And so, there's times when the disciples heard Jesus pray. And I would like to have heard Jesus pray sometime. We don't know what all He prayed about, but we know some things. He told Peter, He said, I have prayed for you, Peter, that thy faith fail thee not. So I know that we can pray for each other, and that would fit the pattern of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would like to hear Jesus praying for Peter. I think it would be a burden prayer. Jesus knew the challenges in Peter's life. Jesus knew the temptations that faced Peter. Jesus knew that Peter was going to deny Him. And Jesus prayed for Peter. And I want to challenge us this evening, can we pray for each other that way? The disciples heard Jesus pray one time in, I'm not sure the passage, I think it's in maybe Luke chapter 6 or maybe Luke 11, 1. There was a time when it says Jesus began to pray and His disciples heard Him pray. And when He was done, one of the disciples looked at Him and he said, Lord, teach us to pray. And I think He was saying, teach us to pray like that. There was a connection between the Lord Jesus Christ and His Father. There was not a brass heaven. He was getting through. And that's the pattern. And that's the promise. That's God's claim. He is a prayer answering God. We like to claim that God answers prayers, but that's His claim. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven. So there's a condition on it, but God's claim is that He is a prayer answering God. And I don't know that we spend enough time in prayer. There's one time when Jesus spent all night in prayer. And then it says, and when it was day, He chose His 12 disciples. And so, right before a big decision that we have to make, young men, before you choose a companion, that's kind of a parallel, Jesus choosing the 12 disciples of importance, of significance of the days ahead. The pattern is spending a lot of time in prayer. Seeking God. Not moved by these fleshly lusts that want that one. Like Samson was moved. Get her for me, for she pleases me well. No. The pattern is to spend all night in prayer. Spend all night yielding your will to His perfect plan. That's a foundation for a good marriage. And how many big decisions do we have in life? And how small amount of time in prayer do we spend? I'm just encouraging us tonight. The call of the Scriptures is to bring us all the way up to the life of Jesus Christ. The standard is not too high. It's the natural thing that will happen when we yield ourselves to Him. Now I want to move on here and I want to challenge us as we look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is one thing that really stands out about Him that makes Him different than any other person that's ever been here on the earth. And I want to say this very carefully as we lift up the life of the Lord Jesus Christ as the pattern for our lives. But Jesus Christ, when He was here as a person, He never sinned. Not even one time. He didn't sin. The Scriptures testify that when Jesus came to earth, that He condemned sin in the flesh. He came in the flesh and He condemned sin. And I'm not sure what all that Scripture means. I know that it can mean that He came in the flesh and He paid the price for sin at Calvary. And He condemned sin when He was here in the flesh. And I know it can mean that, and it certainly does mean that. But I also believe that it means that Jesus came in the flesh and He never sinned. Not even one time. And He was tempted in all points, just like we are. Isn't that something? But the standard is not too high for us. To follow that pattern. Jesus never sinned as a child. Never one selfish thought. Never one disobedient thought. Jesus never sinned as a youth. As you folks are here this evening. He never once was seeking His own way. He never once was not under authority. He was never once complaining that life was not fair. That's the pattern. Is it too high? It's not too high. We've read Scriptures that are calling us to that very thing. He never sinned as a young man. Not one thought of lust. He never sinned in His ministry. Not one thought of revenge for how the people treated Him. Not one thought of pride for all the great things that He did. All the miracles and all the healing. Now He became sin for us. But He Himself knew no sin. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And I know that many times that refers to our position in Him. But let's let God have His way as He calls us to bring our whole life to this standard. So that brings us tonight to a question that I want to ask you. Is it okay if we sin? Does God understand when we sin? Now, God understands all things, so we know that. But when asked that question, it would be easy for the thoughts to rise in your heart and say, now, wait a minute, Brother Dale, we're not going there. That is setting the bar too high. We would say it's not possible for us to not sin. The Bible even says so. If any man say he has not sinned, he's a liar and the truth is not in him. And I know that's right. And I feel my weakness too. I do. But I want to challenge us. Are we too quick to justify our sin? And are we too quick to lay the foundation for us to keep sinning? It's so easy for us to say that he didn't sin because he was God. We're not God. That's the cry of the flesh. But I want to tell you, when Jesus Christ was here, we need to understand he did have a different calling than you and I do. There is a difference in calling. Jesus, when he was here, was not called to be a wife and mother. He was not called to be a daughter. He was not called to run a business. He wasn't. So we need to learn how to translate the life of the Lord Jesus Christ into our calling. We are young men. We are sons and daughters. We are called to run a business. We are called to guide a home. And so we need to be able to translate from the life of the Lord Jesus Christ into our life. He was willing to suffer wrongfully. Maybe your business takes a turn and you're really misused by someone. Do we take it to court? The pattern is to suffer wrongfully. We need to learn how to translate the life of the Lord Jesus Christ into our lives, into our situation. So has God made provision for us to not sin? What does the Bible say? Well, one thing it says in 1 John is, brethren, I write these things that ye sin not. Now, I know it says that if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. It does say that. And praise God, it says that. But let's not just hang on to that one and thump the other one out. John was writing these things that we sin not. The bar is not too high. And I believe that God has made provision for us that we do not need to sin. God will never require anything of anyone unless he has made full provision for us to do what he requires of us or expects us to do. God would never just send his son to earth to live a sinless life of perfection and then say to us, okay, now you do it. Unless he gave full provision for us to follow his example. And so I ask you, what provision has God made for us to not sin? What all has God done for us that we can pattern our lives after the perfect Lamb of God? Now, I'm not going to tell you anything new here. I'm going to tell you and challenge you with what you already know. But I want to remind us of a few things right here. That God has made provision for us to follow in his steps. First of all, God has provided that we can be born again. That is an awesome provision. That is a tremendous provision. And may we never lower the standard of being born again to not being changed. They go together. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. That's part of the scriptural definition of being born again. And so I challenge us, is that reality for us? Or is too much of our life still just the way it used to be? Or too much like too much of the world around us? We have been transformed. That's Romans 12. Be ye transformed. And I've just been so blessed by that word. That word means metamorphosis. Metamorphosis. That's the Greek word, metamorpho. Be ye metamorphosis. It's not an option. It's a commandment that we would be changed as a caterpillar has changed into a butterfly. That's a big change, brothers and sisters. A fat, gluttonous, lazy caterpillar who eats all day long, changed into a butterfly that defies gravity and flies away and sips the nectar and the sweet pollen. We have been commanded. God has made provision for us to change. That's incredible provision. I want to tell you, Jesus did not come to earth just to save caterpillars. The kingdom of God is not just a collection of saved caterpillars. God didn't do that. He made provision and He gave commandment that we would be changed. And that scripture that we quoted, that we said we'd come to later, I'm going to mention now in 2 Corinthians 3:18, that says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed. That's the same word. Metamorphosis. Changed. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. It's beautiful. It's an incredible provision. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus, and we are created unto good works. We don't just have a new position in Christ. That's what's preached so often. And we do have that new position. Praise God. But it's not just a new position. The whole creature is new. Has to be. Must be. That's as scriptural as you can get. But I want to challenge us further. Is that all God did? Gave us provision to be born again? Is that it? It ain't even close. What else did He do? And I believe this one that I'm going to mention now is somewhat harder to understand. And this will be our subject for Wednesday evening. But this is also as scriptural as you can get. He has provided by faith that our old man would be crucified. That the flesh would be crucified. That the body of sin should be destroyed. That we should not serve sin. That's the provision of God. That's what He's done. The crucifixion of the flesh. The death of the old man. Let me just read to you what you can probably all quote in Romans chapter 6. It goes like this. It's a beautiful passage. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Shall we continue in sin? Shall we just make excuses for sin? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? This is a scriptural provision of God to be dead to sin. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death. This is part of faith in the operation of God. Baptized into His death. That just like Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. And I'm going to read one more verse here. Knowing this, this is a sure word of prophecy. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. That's a wonderful provision. That we could be a new creature in Christ Jesus. That we can be born again. That we can be metamorphosed. And that the old man, the body of sin, can be destroyed. But I challenge this again. Is that all God did? It sounds like it should be enough. But is that all He did? I'm going to say it's not even close. What else did He do? Jesus Christ, God, gave of Himself His Holy Spirit to dwell within us, to lead us and to guide us in the ways of all truth. Think of that. Part of the Godhead, God Himself, within us, in everything we do, everywhere we go, every choice we make, every situation we face, everything we suffer, everything we enjoy, He is there leading and guiding. He wants to. He will if we will let Him. That is a provision of God. That is a tremendous provision of God. Jesus said in Luke 24:49, this is what Jesus said. He said to His disciples, He said, "Behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you." Talking about the giving of the Holy Spirit of God, He calls it the promise of the Father. Well, I tell you, that's a sure word of prophecy. If God promises you something, you are going to get it. If you receive it. The promise of the Father. We've been born again. The body of sin has been destroyed. God is within us. Is that all He did? It's not. The list is long. He gave us His Word. He gave us His Word. He gave us fellowship. He gave us, that's the scriptural term, He gave us apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers and parents. And let me tell you what Ephesians says He did that for. He did that for the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Until we all come. And so this is for all of us. Same standard for all of us. Not for the Anabaptist. Not for someone that's raised in a godly home. Not for someone that came into the kingdom of God out of the gutter. It's the same standard. For all of us here today. And it's available to everyone until we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Till we all come where? Listen to this. Amen, brother. Unto a perfect man. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Until we all come to the pattern. The exact replica. That's us. God has made provision. We're born again. We're a whole new creation in Christ. The old man is dead. The Holy Spirit is within us, leading us in every situation. We have His Word. We have fellowship. We have apostles. We have prophets. We have evangelists, pastors and teachers and parents. I tell you from the Scriptures this morning, this evening, there is no excuse for sin. Period. There is no excuse for drift in a church. There is no excuse for any departure from God. That's the standard. I know you all know that. I know that too. But may God stir within us a passion that says, me too. I want that. I tell you tonight, it's available. The bar is not too high. It's the natural thing that will happen when all of these things are in place. There is no excuse for sin. That's why Romans tells us that every mouth shall be stopped. You know, if there was an excuse for sin, if your situation would be reasonable for you to sin, then every mouth would not be stopped. Because God is just and God is holy. But every mouth shall be stopped. Let God be true and every man a liar. The standard is set. The provision is made. And you're here all week long to just reach out and receive. These scriptures are very convicting to me because sometimes I feel like my life falls so far short of the provision that God has made for me, fitting the pattern of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you may feel the same way. And so I'm going to say, I do not want this to be a discouraging message. I want it to be a purpose of heart message. I want it to be an I press toward the mark message. When Barnabas came to the brethren at Antioch, he exhorted them that with purpose of heart, they would cleave to the Lord and not let go. So I want to encourage us that way this evening. I want to close with just a few words. About suffering. I believe that suffering may also be another one of those provisions that God has given. We didn't mention them all. We didn't make an exhaustive list from the scriptures. But we didn't mention suffering, and I'm going to mention it now. Suffering may be one of those provisions that God has given us to draw us to Himself. God has given us situations that are bigger than we are. Situations that bring us to the end of ourselves. Situations that bring us beyond the end of ourselves. Situations of suffering. One scripture that always amazes me about the life of the Lord Jesus Christ is that He learned obedience by the things that He suffered. And this scripture implies that we need suffering to learn obedience. And if Jesus Christ, the perfect pattern, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, if He learned obedience when He was here on the earth, if He learned obedience through the things that He suffered, how do you think you're going to learn it? We'd like to just thump it out of our lives, would we not? But that's one of the provisions of God. And if you've never been there, if you've never been at the end of yourself or beyond the end of yourself, you've either been there or it just hasn't got to you yet. It will be coming. God is faithful. And when you get there, that is when you take the counsel of Barnabas that we would cleave unto the Lord. God is doing a work of perfection in our life. I would like to read to you 1 Peter chapter 1. And you can just listen to this, and I will read it. 1 Peter 4:1 says this. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves. Likewise, with the same mind. Now listen to this. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. Now, I don't know what all that means. But it seems to be saying here that when you get to the place where you don't sin, it's because God brought suffering into your life. And suffering is that powerful of a minister that it will bring you to the place where you cease from sin. I want to read this again. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. That is a powerful minister in our life. Paul suffered in the flesh. God gave him a thorn in his flesh. And Paul didn't like it. He wanted it out bad. And he wanted it out now. And he besought the Lord three times. And at some point, I'm going to say the third time, God explained something to Paul. God said, Paul, when you're weak, that's when I'm strong. You need this thorn. Could I just read that to you? 1 Corinthians 12, I'm going to just read verses 7 through 10. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. It's not 12. Second Corinthians, I'm sorry. Second Corinthians 12, verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh. That is suffering. The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And so Paul received that. And I'm going to challenge us, can we receive it? Paul received it this way. Not by saying that I'm going to always wish this thorn was out. He didn't say that. He said, most gladly, most thankfully to my God, therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That is what we want for each one of you. The power of Christ to rest upon you, to lead you and guide you in the ways of all truth. That will not lead you into sin. That will lead you out of sin. I'm not sure how we were supposed to close the meeting this evening, but I'm going to say, let's have a word of prayer, and then I would like to have a song. If somebody could find Have Thine Own Way, Lord, in one of the songbooks. I'm not sure what number that is. We can turn to it and then we'll have a word of prayer. We're gonna close. 923. This is such a marvelous song. Have thine own way, Lord. That's his way. That's not our way. Not my way, but thine. Thou art the potter. I'm the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. That's saying, Lord, you do whatever you want to do. Let's pray and then we'll sing this song. Father, We just ask tonight that you would take the things that have been said and put your anointing on it and put your stirring in whatever heart needs to hear this. And mine is at the top of the list. And so, Father, I acknowledge my great need to follow the life and the pattern of my Lord. I pray, Father, that you would have your way in this place. Stir within us, Father. Take the knowledge of what we've presented this evening that we already knew, we've always known, and make it reality for us. We worship you tonight. We thank you not only, Father, for the calling and the clarity of the Scriptures, but we thank you for the provision that you have made for your people. Thank you that you did not set the bar too high. Thank you that we can leave the bar where you set it and we can make it reality for each of us. Father, where we have resisted, where we have insisted on our own way, we ask that you would forgive. We ask that you would move in our midst here this evening. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so as we sing this song before the Lord, let's all stand before the Lord. And I want to encourage you. Before you go to bed tonight, just get on your knees and lift up your hands and just give God liberty. And there's a guarantee that He will take it. Let's sing this song before the Lord.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still, have thine own way.
May the Lord hold over your being this week absolute sway.
May he fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only, always living in me.
May the power of Christ rest upon you. God bless you.